What up, fam? On this episode of the Snapback Sports Pod, we had a lot of heated debates. What do these NBA Finals mean for Giannis's legacy? Could he become the greatest player ever? We also rank these three quarterbacks, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, and Kyler Murray. And then we check in with Eagleson and his ridiculous peanut butter.
Snapback fam, new app.
The Baltimore Ravens select Lamar Jackson.
I'm a Raven. He's on all year, every year.
Jackson takes it himself.
Oh! He broke his ankle! Blocked by James!
Auburn's gonna win the football game! Auburn's gonna win the football game!
For the Philadelphia Eagles, the long drought is over.
Bryant with the jumper.
What up, fam? I'm your host, Jack Settleman. Joining me today, and as always, my co-host and longtime best friend, Abe Granoff. Abe, what is on your mind today?
Co-host, longtime best friend, and now officially a member of the hole-in-one club in golf. I hit a hole-in-one yesterday, Jackson.
Is that all you're going to leave us with? Did you play all 18 holes?
Yes. 6:45 a.m. tee time. Let me paint the picture for you. We're on the fourth-ish hole, and you let me know if this is as impressive, or is it more impressive or less impressive? Get up to the tee box, do my little dancey dance. Don't take a practice swing because what is that going to do for me, right? Hit a long drive, long, and it, you know, going to golf, the ball has a mind of its own. So, whoosh, sliced all the way left of the fairway. Totally couldn't find my ball. We drive up. We're on like another hole's fairway to the left of the hole that we're currently playing. Looking around for my ball. Can't find it anywhere. All of a sudden, I hear Abe from my roommate who I'm playing with, and he is standing over the hole of a total opposite hole that we're playing in. So I managed to drive the ball and slice it so far left that it landed in another hole's hole. If you ask me, and this is the response I've gotten from multiple people, I think that's more impressive than a regular hole-in-one.
It's more unlikely is the word you're looking for. So that doesn't necessarily mean it is more impressive.
I don't think that's true. I think they're synonymous.
I don't think they're synonymous, but I think it is impressive technically how bad of a drive you could have possibly hit.
It was a smaller course, so it wasn't that far away.
Right.
It definitely was a slice.
Yeah, you can't really hit it on another fairway straight, or you were lined up in the wrong way.
Whatever. I got a hole-in-one, and you can suck it. I have a second thing on my mind.
First, on the golf thing, I wanted to address something. The Glizzy Granoff, which I'm all about. Love Glizzies. Love the name of the exercise, mm-hmm. Rating all the hot dogs. Where'd you play the other day?
Yesterday was at Westwood Golf Club in West Deptford, New Jersey.
Rank that golf course out of 10. Like
the course or the hot dog?
No, like everything that kind of goes with it. Like how nice of a course, like Pebble Beach versus Westwood Golf Course or whatever the hell it was called.
Six.
Okay.
Ish.
That's my point is your rating came in, I think, like a 7.6, and you just started the Glizzy Granoff.
Okay, I get that. I've gotten
like it came I know. In really high.
So, dude, my first one was at an 8.1, and I was playing at a private country club golf course, like some bougie shit that I would never play. Listen, I understand I started high, so I set the bar. In my defense, truthfully, they were both fantastic hot dogs. I know
it feels like you're chasing. It feels like you're chasing.
When you're starting a campaign, you kind of want to give a start at the bar a little low. But I'm telling the whole story of the Glizzy, and they were both fantastic hot dogs. I actually considered today going down to my local 7-Eleven and getting one of their hot dogs just so I could maybe lower my average Glizzy rating. Unless 7-Eleven has
some
fire.
It's not a golf course.
Exactly. They're strictly going to be golf courses. I understand that. I've only done two so far. Listen, I've played a lot of different golf courses before I've started this campaign. I'm bound to have some shitty hot dogs, like just remembering off the top of my head. It just so happens, by luck, I've been very fortunate the last two hot dogs I've had on a golf course. But speaking of glizzies, I want to talk about LeBron for a second.
Whoa.
Yeah.
I mean, you have had that man's glizzy in your mouth for two decades now. So
speaking of glizzies, and just bear with me here, I want to talk about LeBron for a second. We all know he's the greatest basketball player ever, greatest off-the-court basketball player ever in terms of what he's done for a community, this, that, greatest basketball movie producer ever. I assume Space Jam 2 will be pretty good. I think he might be the horniest basketball player of all time now. Did you see his Instagram story the other day? I mean, a DILF and a MILF on a Tuesday morning at 9:30 while we're all enjoying our cup of Joe and catching up on the newspaper. Listen, LeBron, you got a movie coming out, a children's movie nonetheless, and you're posting a picture from the premiere and calling yourself a DILF and your high school sweetheart wife that you've been with your entire life a MILF? Listen, I'm getting into this whole let's start to rip on LeBron thing for everything he does off the court, not on the court. This was weird. This was another mark in the book where it's LeBron, what are you doing, dude?
I would say ones that come to mind, Daniel House.
Are you talking about horny?
Yeah, Daniel House. He got kicked out of the bubble, I think, for inviting a lady in. Or maybe
Delonte West.
Or maybe interacting with someone already in the bubble. Lou Williams left the bubble.
No, just a chicken wing enthusiast.
I'm trying to think of other Ben Simmons. I mean, this man just will literally do anything in the offseason except work on his jump shot.
I plead the fifth on that. But Delonte West, notoriously horny for his past. That just came out of nowhere. A children's movie at the premiere, and you're condoning adultery?
It does feel like LeBron's moving back into not sucking a little. Like, his support of CP3 in the finals has been nice.
You all right?
He's rooting for his kids. That's cool.
Jack. Wait. Oh, yeah, that's cool that you root for your kids. Congrats,
but, like, he had a really rough stretch where even you turned on him, which is bad. That's bad.
Just, Jack, I'm still turned. Just wait. Just wait until, let's say, Chris Paul goes on and wins finals MVP. There will be some Instagram post of them both holding finals MVP trophies, a picture of them from when they were in their younger days, LeBron on the Cavs, Chris Paul on the Hornets, where LeBron will somehow turn it
about himself.
We talked about this. We did it. We are finals MVPs.
It sounds like you're kind of over LeBron at this point in his career.
Where I stand on LeBron is, and this was after the 3-1 comeback, there's nothing anyone can say, do at this point in my life to convince me that there is a greater basketball player that's ever lived on planet Earth. Now that is so solidified and engraved in my brain and I've accepted, you can argue all you want. Speaking of which, MJ was at my local beach yesterday. But anyway, now I can have fun, right? Because I spent so much time and energy defending this guy. And now I actually think that people are kind of on board. Maybe not you and others, but there has been a growth in the LeBron GOAT side of it all in the past few years. So now that I'm content where I am in that, and I don't feel the need to argue with anyone. Like, I don't even entertain those conversations anymore. And now that I'm at peace with that, it's like, okay, I wasted so much negative energy in my life and time and Google and basketball reference researches to try and defend this guy. Now that nothing's changing, no matter what, like, maybe I did feel a sense of vulnerability when you and I would argue about MJ and LeBron back in the years, because you would have good points, but there's nothing anyone can do anymore to convince me otherwise. Now I could have some fun making fun of him. I've never done that. And it's like, I have made fun of 95% of athletes that we've ever discussed on this podcast, except LeBron James. But you know, there comes a time.
Fair enough. Good.
And when he turns horny at a children's movie premiere, that's the time.
Good transition into some legacy talk. Giannis, we're recording this before game 4 of the NBA Finals. as everyone knows, your legacy kind of comes and goes with this event, which is the NBA Finals. LeBron's played in, I don't know, 11 of them. It's insane. Year 18, by the way, 11 of them. And, you know, Giannis has a very, very rare opportunity. He, second player ever to go 40 and 10 in rebounds. LeBron did it in those 16 finals. He went 40 and 10, 10 assists, and 40 and 10, 10 rebounds. But only him and Shaq are the 40 and 10 guys. Giannis is...
ESPN tried to slide that in.
They messed it up, and I called him out on it.
They didn't mess it up. They did that very
purposely. No, they did mess up the graphic because they put rebounds, and they didn't...
Yeah. I understand that. I'm saying they tried to slide that on purpose because LeBron owns 51% of the network. Right.
So he's already having the best he is having the best NBA finals that we have ever – that we've seen in the past 20 years besides LeBron James, which is fucking nuts to think about. That is, like, actually insane. Dirk literally beat LeBron in a finals by himself. Like, KD averaged 30 in a final. Jimmy Butler last season had a bunch of great games.
There was no finals last year.
Kawhi Leonard's done great. But, like, Giannis, like, on a hyper-extended knee 2 weeks ago, we came on this pod.
No, we're not doing that.
We
are not doing the hyper-extended knee.
What he's doing on that knee is mind-boggling. Point being.
Because, no. What do you mean? No, we're not. We're not. Bro. We are not. No,
what
shut
are
up.
You talking we are not. About?
You know what I'm talking about? And the last thing on earth I want to do on this episode right now is bring up the 76ers. But there were a few weeks ago when the Sixers were still at this point, a few months ago, I don't know, where the Sixers were still in the playoffs, where I would maybe point to the fact that Joel Embiid had a torn meniscus and he was playing on that. And you were saying, I don't want to hear anything about a torn meniscus when he's going out there and averaging 34 and 15. Giannis is healthy. Listen, what he's doing is amazing, but don't try and add on a hyperextended knee.
I actually would encourage you to find the tape where Embiid was playing great on the knee.
I think it's text messages.
I think it made it more impressive. And I think that's what Giannis doing this on the knee. All right, you want to remove the injury. Where I'm all coming to is if Giannis comes back from 2-0 down, which is the same as coming back from 3-1 down, same amount of games, which is just
no.
Really? It's not? It's not two games? It's not two games? All right. That's not the point. But the point is, if he wins his title at 20...
I can't believe you just tried to twist it.
At 26 years old, he will have every accolade in the book at 26 and will have his title and finals MVP before LeBron ever won his... and before Jordan ever won his. And LeBron will have only gone to one or two finals because he lost two before he won in his third attempt. Giannis would be 1-0 in the finals, coming back down 2-0, will put up just absolutely nuts numbers. But more importantly, legacy-wise, I told you this on the phone. I wanted CP to get there because, like, I was just sick and tired of people like you. You've changed up, whether or not it's because you bought a Top Shot moment or because everyone kind of changed up. But in years past, you've always said Chris Paul is a loser, right? Like, he's a loser. He can't get it done. And there was truth to it. He never could get over that hump. It felt like getting to the finals, getting two games away. If they were to lose this finals, it's not because he's a loser and he choked. It's because the Bucks were maybe the better team and Giannis was the best player in the shit, whatever. And it feels like the narrative around CP3, whether he has zero rings or one ring, like, it's Allen Iverson.
That's
right?
No. He does have a ring. We saw all the Chris Paul getting to the finals, the way that the league talked about him, everyone was posting how happy he looked. Chris Paul got a ring. I actually wouldn't be surprised if someone gave him a fake ring. Here's your going to the finals.
That's my point. And so for me, who's the biggest Chris Paul fan, him winning that ring is cool and it's awesome, but it's not the end all be all. And I think I'd rather have Giannis win this ring because the potential of what we could watch and the legacy that we could live through. Like, I think some of your most fun times as a basketball fan, Abe, are watching LeBron's career arc and, like, every step of the way getting there. And if Giannis at 26 has LeBron beaten, Jordan beaten. He's won Defensive Player of the Year. He's two-time MVP. He's a Finals MVP. He's 40-10 nightly in the NBA Finals. And then you start to think about what could he become. They want Luka to be the face of the league. They want Zion. They want Emmanuel quickly. Like, they want all these guys to be the face of the league. But Giannis could be that guy.
Wait.
I wasn't sure if your screen froze or your audio cut out.
No, you were going really quick, and I was just like, Luka, Zion, whatever, Emmanuel. What the?
But my point is, we could see that. And I'm not even saying if he gets a jump shot. Like, he could literally be the best player in the league without a jump shot. He is right now, today, in this current state that we're in. So what do you think of Giannis's legacy at 26 if he comes back and wins the finals?
It's big. It's big if he wins this finals for all the reasons that he says. But the reason I think it's different than your MJ, than your LeBron, than your this, is because Giannis has had so many playoff shortcomings in recent memory. It doesn't feel like Giannis overcame all of those in this postseason. Yeah, he's been good the entire playoffs, but there's been stretches where it's like, there's playoff Giannis. And it's like, do I see the makings of Giannis winning this and that propelling him into being this? Look, Giannis could take the title of the best player in the league after this. That's how everyone will paint the picture.
Call the police. Call the police.
I didn't say that I would.
Call someone for you.
I didn't say that I would, but this is how you do it. This is where you do it. Kevin Durant is not in the NBA Finals right now. 2 weeks ago, Jack, or 3 weeks ago, who was the best player in the world?
Kevin Durant was playing like the best player in the world, yeah.
And now who's the best player in the world?
And so
it changes. It changes from a narrative standpoint. It changes every 2 weeks. So, hypothetically speaking, Giannis goes on to win this finals. He's the best player in the world.
I mean, Devin Booker was Kobe Bryant a week ago. So I hear what you're saying. I want to offer up two things. One, I want to fact check you. I think the cops are coming for you if you can't hear. But I want to fact check you. Giannis moments. There was literally game one in Brooklyn. That was his only bad game in the playoffs. Game two, they got blown out by 50. Ever since then, he won a game seven in Brooklyn on the road. And then I'll give you the injury, right? That's why.
Buy a toenail.
They won on the road, game seven in overtime. That's an insane victory to come from the title favorites. But on the flip side, Harden was hurt. Kyrie's out for the game. So that's why it kind of feels like it. It does feel like he's not conquering LeBron James, right? That feels,
you know,
like
why? Because and this is not me being a bitter NBA Sixers fan right now. You can't look me in the eye and tell me that this NBA Finals has had the NBA Finals feel that we're used to over the last few years. It felt like, and maybe we were spoiled because we had debatably the greatest player of all time versus debatably one of the best teams of all time for four straight years. Like, we would wake up in the morning as non-Cavs Warriors fans. I was like a fake Cavs fan and like be like jittery until 9:59, where the game
really,
is supposed to start
it was
at 9
really
o'clock.
Just like, is LeBron going to go off? How are we going to discount what he did? Who's going to win?
Like, I actually had to wake up. I had to wake up this morning and ask myself, is there a game tonight? Like, I think like the hype just isn't there around the NBA Finals.
I'll say to that. What?
And I get it. All titles are created equal, essentially, minus last year, except keep the jewelry, and this year for obvious reasons. But it just like doesn't have that.
Agreed.
NBA Finals.
And it's one of those things where in the moment, you're going to say all those things. But 5 years from now, and what we're talking about is legacy, you're not going to remember Wednesday morning, July the 14th, when you woke up, how you felt. You're going to look back 5 years and be like, Giannis rattled off four straight wins.
I'm going to look back in 5 years and say, how the fuck did we lose the Hawks?
that as well. But you'll look back 5 years and be like, either, you know, Giannis lost his first finals, or he won 4 out of 5 against Phoenix and went 40-10 in three of those games, and he's a finals MVP. And we're talking legacy. And so, like, if he gets that one, I literally think he could be considered a top 15 player ever already.
Wow. I mean, what does it take to be
It takes a lot.
I mean,
it takes
I can't,
a lot.
I can't, I can't.
It takes a lot. The top 15 are special players. And obviously, given his.
How many of those top 15 have more than two rings? They don't. Rings?
That's my point. He wouldn't actually be, but there is an argument that, like, if you want to start placing him in the top 25 players of all time already, at 26, you absolutely can make that argument, pending they do end up winning the finals. They are down 2-1. They did crush in game three. You and I both feel like the Bucks are going to win tonight. It's probably a really good chance that Devin Booker comes out, scores.
Suns are
going
to win tonight.
And we're going back to Phoenix, and it's Suns in five, and this whole conversation gets blown up. But I just thought it was fun to talk about while we have it. So
I've always said Giannis with a jump shot will probably be the GOAT because yeah. What?
And Giannis without a jump shot, if he's got a finals MVP at 26, that book will be open. That's all.
You know what? You know what book can we close real quick? The Giannis should win finals MVP, win or lose. That I've seen that a few places on Twitter, on the television, because of what the numbers that he's putting up, and they're gaudy. When LeBron James averaged 35, 13, yeah. and 9 and yeah. lost the finals, the MVP of the series was the guy who held him to 35, 13, and 9 because he was titled.
Once they moved Iguodala onto him, check the numbers. But I get your point. So let me ask you, at that time when Iguodala won finals MVP and everyone agreed he didn't deserve it,
yes, I was beating a dead horse on LeBron showing MVP.
Because LeBron didn't,
but because
get it,
he didn't,
Giannis should not.
Giannis got is it. Not allowed. Okay.
All right.
Correct.
I just wanted to clarify.
Correct. Nobody ever from here on out should win finals MVP if they didn't
win
the finals.
With that.
Because
I'm cool with that.
Andre Iguodala
it
won finals
MVP. It will
be
fun to see how LeBron fans take in Giannis going off and his supporting players playing terrible and them costing him the finals. It will, like, if he continues to put up these numbers and loses the finals, it'll be fun to watch people, like, navigate, right? Because the whole thing was.
By people, do you
no,
mean
no,
you?
No, it would be you. It'd be your type.
Well, you'll be on it'll the be- other side trying to, like, frame it. Like, you'll do an uppercase letter, lowercase letter whole scheme, like.
No, I just think it'll be interesting to see how those your type do that. But
you know what? Actually, I kind of want someone to win finals MVP when they lose. I think it would be really funny to see them on stage with the team that just won the finals, just miserable as shit, holding a Larry O'Brien, yeah. not a Larry, yeah. a Bill Russell
I'm
trophy.
Trying to.
You know what? I want Giannis
at this
to win
point
it now.
In this finals that Chris Paul's played three good games. It's kind of over. But if no one was playing well and Giannis was playing that well, like, it would be interesting. It was also, like, Steph should have just won the finals MVP. It was dumb that they gave it to Iguodala because for two
stopper.
Games he, like, limited him. Let's move to Tokyo. Or first, the boys are in Las Vegas. And Team USA can't beat anyone. Nigeria, nope. They lose to Australia, right?
Beat Australia, lost
no,
to Argentina.
No, beat Argentina, oh, nope. lost to Australia. And then Australia played Nigeria and beat them by 40. So if you do a little quick maths there, I've got Australia by 60 over Argentina. I haven't really been watching, just been seeing clips. The one narrative that's making its rounds, though, is the FIBA rules are killing the guys. And I'm kind of loving it. What's been your take? And explain what's going on.
The take is this is hilarious that the USA is just getting washed by these countries. And I'm not going to go Stephen A and disrespect the Nigerian basketball team or the Australian basketball team, captained by no other than Matisse Thybulle, who had a block on Kevin Durant, but that's neither here nor there. But yeah, it seems like Bradley Beal, Tatum, all these guards are looking to draw the fouls and they're looking at the FIBA refs and the FIBA refs are like, what, dude? Like this isn't the NBA. And it makes me think that, like, if, like, Trae Young and Harden were there, it would be even a lot funnier. But the Olympics, there's no, I don't care if they started 0-2, this, that, there should be no reason to worry. If the USA tries at a 40% level, they should walk to the gold medal. I understand.
I don't know.
Basketball is getting better around the world.
Do you think so?
Jack.
Like, I guess the question is, like, why haven't U.S. teams won in the past?
I just don't think they, like, try. They, like, they don't care. Because they, it's a mentality that they can do that and walk there. So it's like the effort's not there. But I would like to have a conversation about Coach Greg Popovich. He's, everyone says he's the best coach in the NBA. And he's earned that title until he retires. I'm not going to argue that. He hasn't done shit in quite some time. Both overseas and both in the United States in the NBA. I think he's the one to be held liable with this. But with a team, let's paint a picture. Damian Lillard, let's go to the back to the NBA. Forget Tokyo. Damian Lillard, Kevin Durant, Jason Tatum, Bam Adebayo, and Brad, did I say Bradley Beal? And whoever, you. Versus Matisse Thybulle, Joe Ingles, Patty Mills, Matthew Dellavedova, and Kangaroo Jack. If that was a seven-game series in the NBA, what would you predict the margin of victory would be and how many games it would finish in? Like, there's no – and Australia is probably a team with some – with most NBA players compared to other countries that the USA is going to face. There's literally negative excuses – for winning by anything less than 10 every game, every single game. You don't need LeBron, Kevin Durant, Kawhi Leonard, Giannis, even though he's not American, to Steph, to go out and beat these guys. The NBA has the top of the top players around the world. And these are all, and I know we throw around the term superstar a lot. We're not going to that. These are all-star players.
The majority of that starting lineup is the majority. Majority is more than half. There's three superstars.
There's two superstars on that. There's Kevin Durant and there's Damian Lillard.
If you don't think Jason Tatum is a superstar, you're a bona fide idiot. Jason Tatum is a superstar. He is a superstar.
How is the superstar? How did the superstar do this season?
He scored 50 points against the.
His team finished seventh.
50 point. What did Dame Lillard finish? I'm sorry. What did Dame Lillard finish? Sixth.
Right. But you got to earn the title of superstar. Dame's been around for a while.
Become a superstar. And Jason Tatum is a superstar.
I don't know where the Jason Tatum gobble glizzy gobble has been. Like, when did you develop this syndrome? Bonafide
superstar. After Luka Doncic is the best young player in the game.
Sure. But you just said young. There's
star.
There's maybe is that an ant or a spider?
If you don't think Jason Tatum's a superstar, I can't.
Sure. Ready? Let's name the superstars. I'll name mine, and then you say yes or no, and I'll tell you where my list ends. LeBron.
Wait, LeBron.
Giannis, Kawhi.
Wait, wasn't he the seventh seed? Was he not the seventh seed? Okay.
Please shut up. LeBron, Giannis, Kawhi. Steph, Harden, Joel, shut up. Dame, Luka. I'll say Anthony Davis, but I don't want to. Jokic. Jason who am I missing? Tatum.
Jason Tatum is absolutely a superstar.
That's it. No, it's not. Just because you see Deuce Tatum on Bleacher Report a few times a year doesn't make him a superstar. Yeah, everyone loves him, and he's on his way to being a Kobe Bryant-type player and all this.
He's arrived.
Spectacular.
He has absolutely arrived.
Yeah, correct. All right, I'll agree with that. He's arrived. In order to be a superstar, you got to stay there. Hell no. He's a star. Jason Tatum is a star. He's not a superstar. I hate how we throw that term out. Like,
he's the cutoff for me. Booker, no. Mitchell, no. Trae Young, no. Ja Morant, Zion, quickly.
Why is Tatum? I don't understand why Tatum is, and why is Tatum a superstar?
Devin
and Devin Booker
is
not
even clearly the best player on his team. Is it?
I think it's pretty clear. Is it? Isn't? Aren't you the one that said Devin Booker's the guy, but Chris Paul has the impact?
Yeah, I think D-Book is their guy. But he had 11 points last game, you know, in the NBA Finals. Kobe. Like, but Jason Tatum is the cutoff for me. He, like, 50 in a playoff game leading your team to a win, and he's been there. He's been to conference finals. He's a superstar, in my opinion. All right, we're going to take a quick break. After the break,
we're going to make a poll on. But you know what? I'm going to lose. I'm going to lose that poll.
You need to set.
No, it's because the audience.
The standard.
I have
need to write your definition of a superstar.
I'll make a guideline.
I'm sure the guideline.
And then you make yours.
I'm so cool with. No, I want you to make the guidelines. And then I do.
I don't think
but
you do.
I'm going to play devil's advocate and make sure that every single one of those players fits under that definition or that they don't fit under that definition.
I'm going to have to make like the longest, like
Excel
clause ever and see who pops out and just compute it so that Jason Tatum's name doesn't appear anywhere.
I think that's my point though. I don't think you'll be able to create like multiple reasons why some of those guys are and some are not. I think Jason Tatum's a superstar.
I think you're just very infatuated with Jason Tatum's
name. I actually was against it. And early in the season when he wasn't getting to the line,
What changed?
I watched him develop over the year, and he's. I'm trying to think.
He's
of
great.
He's
a great star in the league.
Like Devin Booker's like lethal, right? That's why he gets the Kobe comps. Jason Tatum can do everything Booker can do, but better. And that's like outside of Kevin Durant, who's a better scorer in the league? Pure scorer, superstar scorer. Who is a better pure scorer in the league?
Steph Curry, not James Harden.
Like, in terms of pure scoring, which is also another weird.
What does that mean?
We're gonna take a quick break. After the break, we're figuring out where Ben Simmons is going and how the Knicks are acquiring Colin Sexton. We'll be right back.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
All right, fam. We are back. MLB All-Star. Actually, real quick. Tick pick. I saw them post a tweet. MLB. It kind of clicked for me. Eliminate one of these things that you would put on a hot dog: ketchup, mustard, relish. That's an auto
relish
for you.
My go to glizzy, and this will be on every glizzy that I review on every golf course. One line of ketchup, one line of mustard on each side. Never touching.
That's kind of creepy. Okay, I said I would eliminate ketchup. Actually. I always get ketchup and mustard. I get all three normally, so just thought I'd throw that out there. Use code Jack when you're buying glizzies.
I don't not like relish. No, I just answered the question.
MLB All-Star Game, Vladdy Jr. wins All-Star Game MVP. The AL has won 8 straight years. How does that happen? And have you called your local loan shark for next year when we bet everything we have on the NL? Like, 8 years?
People have been calling their loan sharks for the past,
but we haven't.
Years. You know what I mean? But we haven't. And you're right. So we'll take out a loan or we can just take the money from this episode. So we'll take out $1 million. We'll put it on the NL next year. And if the AL wins, by that time, we'll probably be making $2 million an episode. So we'll just double down the following year and keep doubling to 4, 8. And at the end, we'll just break even. But at least Darren Rovell will tweet about us when there's an $8 million wager on the NL to break the streak.
We'll have kids. We'll have mortgaged their entire future by the time the National League wins.
The NL will win by the time the All-Star game disbands.
The broadcast was pretty hype about the state of baseball, the young talent, all that stuff, and then which is very accurate. We've talked about that a ton. And then the other thing they were like, the All-Star game's the best professional All-Star game because it's the closest thing to an actual game between these types of talents. Does the MLB All-Star game do it for you? Like, they play competitively. They can hustle because it isn't physical and there is no really chance of injury, or at least high chance.
I mean, Max Scherzer almost got his head taken off. No, the All-Star game does not do it for me. However, the Home Run Derby does. And I thought about it and I had this conversation. It's like, if the NBA dunk contest had the top of the top every year, the Zions, the Zach LaVines, it wouldn't come close to the hype that the Home Run Derby brings, because for the dunk contest, it's like, yeah, you can have these names and they're doing these crazy dunks, but if they miss the first dunk, it's like, it never really does it. The format that they do it, the names that they put in, the Home Run Derby is the cream of the crop when it comes to All-Star events in sports. I feel like
that's a closer draw between the two.
Doesn't do it for me either, really. It's just the same. I don't know. Did you watch the Home Run Derby the other night?
Yeah, Mancini. It's exciting. It's exciting. Be more, but Alonso just crushed. He was on fire. Except the best part of the whole thing.
We got to give Pete Alonso a title. I think he's the biggest dweeb in sports.
This 12-year-old kid tears his ACL and he's...
No, I saw that. But even like before that and his interviews and everything, he just gave me big dweeb vibes.
Speaking of dweeb, Ben Simmons caught out in L.A. partying. Caught out.
Yeah, 21-year-old does 21-year-old things.
J-Mo on a date.
Okay, and James Harden's getting arrested with a little baby in Paris. You don't hear a peep about that on this podcast.
Anything about his offseason work. But what I did hear is that my boy Daryl Morey has officially put Ben Simmons on the trade block.
Which isn't like news, but I think the reason that it holds weight now, the fact that the Sixers, and maybe I'm off base with this because of how inept their PR department is on a year after year basis, the fact that Shams came out and said they're starting to field offers makes me feel like the Sixers are getting offers that they feel that at some point they're going to be comfortable with doing one of them. And it's like, okay, we can let this get out because now it's real. Like, you wouldn't have that report coming out if they're fielding offers, if it's Malcolm Brogdon in a second. It seems like Ben is gone. It does. But at the same time, I'm still standing pat. I think there's just as good a chance he's on the roster night one as there isn't. I truly believe they won't just do a deal to make a deal.
About as low as it could have after he decided not to put the ball in the basket, which for those listening who might be football fans or other fans of other sports may be confused, because yes, that is the intention of the sport. But that was about as low as it got. Even you, who held a lot of Ben Simmons stock, were a seller at that time.
Oh, speaking of Ben Simmons stock, we're actually approaching the year or 2 year. When were we in Atlantic City for your birthday? Yeah. Last year. I bought a Ben Simmons PSA 10 optic base or whatever. I looked on Star Stock today just because I was curious. In 1 year, I bought a Ben Simmons card. I am down 70% on my investment.
That's fair. That is fair.
I can't argue the market there. I don't know what I expected to see when I logged on. But speaking also, remember the competition that we were in with Star Stock? I got a Kevin Porter card.
Yeah, you did.
Placing fifth.
But I was going to say, it feels like you are the leader, but there's been a little buyback on Ben Simmons. Like, you guys aren't going to give him up for pennies. You wouldn't even give him up for Brogdon at first. You also made that heinous claim that you wouldn't take Cade Cunningham. It was heinous.
I still stand pat on that.
But we're not going to go down that. Anyways.
No, I'm not. Because, no, the whole reason, and I saw a tweet about this, unless the Sixers scrap literally everything and go back to total square one, the players that they receive in this trade for Ben Simmons have to fit with Joel Embiid's timeline. And then you're trading for Cade Cunningham and and Olympian Jeremy Grant, who can't even beat Nigeria or Australia, doesn't align with the Joel Embiid timeline.
Okay, and so you need, I don't cannot think that. That's
which
fine.
I think is, I don't think
that,
you can argue
that. That's fine. And my argument was, I think his window is more than 1 year. Like, initially, your thought was, we need the guy that's going to come in next year and make the difference. I think it's one in the next three.
We agreed. We agreed. Player for player, just strict value. Not fair. It's a fair deal.
But
for what the Sixers?
Anyways, you guys claim that you're only doing it for essentially Bradley Beal or who's the other guy you might want? Oh, yeah. That guy,
he goes by the name of Damian Lillard.
That's not going to happen, at least in my best guesses. It just doesn't feel like anyone's going to give up their superstar for Ben Simmons. But that's what Sixers fans claim they're going to go for. And they claim they won't go.
Jackson. Have you ever heard of the trade
won't
machine?
Go for anything less. I actually do think a trade happens. And I think it'll land closer to that Brogdon offer, which is a very good player and a first for Ben Simmons. Because I don't think you're going to be able to tackle Matisse and three firsts and get a superstar. Maybe you can. But I just don't know what the market for Ben really is.
A third team gets in the mix, trades their young players to a team like Portland.
Yeah, you
never know, man. It's Daryl Morey. He's shown the ability to make the trades in the past. I truly, and I've never said this about a Philadelphia. That's not true. I said it about Howie Roseman after he won the Super Bowl. I rarely ever say this about a Philadelphia executive. I trust Daryl Morey. I trust Daryl Morey.
I've also seen that Colin Sexton's on the trade block, which blows my mind because he's like 23. He's a great young player. I know he's up for a contract soon, but he's like a pretty good player. And they always reference like he has one of the worst plus minuses in the league. That just means he's not a great passer,
but ball and stuff.
He
There's all those.
Plays a lot of minutes on the worst team in the league. Your plus minus can only be so high. I don't get why he's on the block in the first place. I guess Cavs fans don't want to pay him. Plus, they have Garland. That he's been rumored. The Knicks apparently are the emerging suitor, which we know means nothing at this time.
From yeah, Sexland
exactly,
to quit
fire.
Sex.
But what about Ben for Sexton? That one's
again.
Completely.
In my opinion, doesn't align. I mean, You might be higher on the worst team.
No, he's a great scorer.
Let me ask you a question. How many points could Kyle Kuzma average
on
the Cleveland Cavaliers
numbers
last year?
No way.
Probably 22.
No way.
Probably 22
not
points.
Not on those efficient numbers. He's a really good scorer.
Wait, is it that?
And I disagree. I think you like Zach LaVine, right? You're getting 4 more points per game.
I did.
On a really bad team. Like, what's the difference here? You know, what
on,
is
man.
The difference there? So that's an interesting one. The offer that was thrown out was Obi Toppin, Kevin Knox, and a first for Colin Sexton.
If that's the package to go get Colin Sexton, there should be 31 teams calling the Cleveland Cavaliers. And the Knicks would probably be the last to get him.
Obi
with that.
Toppin,
what, say
top
that again.
10 pick. Kevin Knox, top 10 pick, and a first.
Ben Simmons, top
Colin
10 pick.
Sexton.
I mean, yeah, you do that at a snap of the fingers if you're Leon Rose.
But you do have to pay him close to a max. That's where people – and like you said, if he's not that good, he doesn't pass that much, all that jazz, maybe you don't. I personally, as a Knicks fan, would favor that trade. I think
any player
– No, see,
that's why I'm fine with keeping him.
You can't be fine – because if you want to find a player that aligns with Joel's timeline, it's not the guy who is not good for the team.
That's why I want to trade him.
So, I mean, we knew on July 14th that your only available people would be Beal and Dame that you really want, but I don't think it's going to be there necessarily, and I'm just curious, who's going to get caught? Will it be Portland, who can't find a fair trade, or the Wizards, or will it be the Sixers, who do have to take that step down to Brogdon type?
I think you can add pieces to this team, keep Ben, and
what if
try
what
again.
If you could sign Lowry and then make the Cade.
That's what I think Grant we're going to do. First off, that's not a real deal. We just discussed that on Instagram Live. We're not speaking that into existence. But if you sign a guy like Kyle Lowry, you move Ben to a point forward with Joel and shooters around. I think we easily could. You can't. You don't trade away a Ben Simmons in a sign and trade. Chances are, if a team is doing a sign and trade, they don't have.
I don't do the cap, but it's tough to think of a scenario.
Ben Simmons, no one does the cap. It doesn't exist.
On a max, Tobias on a max, and Kyle Lowry at $35 million a year.
If Kyle Lowry is not getting $35 million a year.
Yeah, no, I bet you year. I bet you'll sign right now? 2 years, 70 plus million.
Speaking of bet, we got to go back in our text messages when we drafted finals teams.
Who do you think has those teams?
We just got to double check. Because that was a double or nothing on the Kevin Durant bet, right?
Triple down that I have the best chance of winning that bet.
Just get a double check.
We did it on the pod, Eagles.
Maybe I don't know.
Go back and figure it out. I know I made you take the Sixers, but maybe you ended up with the Bucks. I think you got the Lakers and the Sixers, though, and probably the Clippers.
I think I got both LA teams. I think, yeah. I mean, chances are a team with Giannis and Chris Paul, there's a good chance they're on your side versus mine. But
it's been a good episode.
Just want to check the
car
facts.
We've got one more for you. We're going to rank these three quarterbacks on Underdog Fantasy are in the same tier. So Patrick Mahomes is QB1 in fantasy this year, without a doubt. His floor is ridiculous. His ceiling is ridiculous. With 17 games, given the way offense is moving, given the way you can't defend the pass, given the way that we saw the Bills just pretty much get rid of the run game and just said throw all game long, I don't think it's out of the question that Mahomes could theoretically touch 60 touchdowns in a season. It would be a little over four a game. It would be blasphemous. But the way that offense goes, I don't think he'll do it per se. Point is, he's QB1. In that next tier on Underdog Fantasy, partially because all three of these guys are running quarterbacks, Joshua Allen, Lamar Jackson, and Kyler Murray. That's the order on Underdog. It's a very small gap, but it is Jalen, Lamar, two, and Kyler three. We're just using that as a framing. Use code Jack on Underdog Fantasy. But now we're actually going to discuss those QBs heading into this year. Where do you have them ranked?
Number three, Lamar Jackson. Listen, after his breakout year 2 years ago, every fantasy writer on planet Earth predicted there would be some form of regression. There was no regression in the run game because you just can't catch them. And there was no improvement in the passing game. And overall, when you come off an MVP year, that you're going to overall go down. Again, I see the same thing because you're not going to be able to catch him. He's not getting any slower. The running will be there. It's just the same thing with the passing. Will his passing improve? And I have nothing to base that off of to think that he will. So for that reason, I have Lamar three. Sure. I'm just going to file through him. And I have Kyler two, because last year it was Derrick Henry, it was Dalvin Cook, it was Kamara, it was Chubbs, and it was Josh Jacobs, if I remember. Those are the only players in the NFL that had more rushing touchdowns than Kyler Murray. Will that happen again this year? Probably not. There will be some regression in the run game, but I think I view Kyler as a better passer of the football than Lamar right now. And I think he'll continue to make strides in his passing game. So from a fantasy perspective, I still think he'll put up crazy rushing numbers, but because he'll have that uptick in passing, that's why I have Kyler too. At number one, I'm with Underdog. I have Jalen. I mean, his arm came out of Josh Allen's arm last year was Julius Randle. In terms of where the fuck did this jump come from? Another year under his belt, another year with Stephon Diggs. He can run with the football and everything. People are going to keen in on the arm and everything, which is only going to open up the run game. And I think we got to give some respect to Josh Allen, who took his team to an AFC championship. And I think, although we're talking about from a fantasy perspective, it's only still going to go up. I don't see his arm getting worse. I only see it getting better. And because his arm's getting better, I think that'll open up more opportunities for him on the ground. So from a fantasy perspective, Lamar, Kyler, and Josh Allen, though I will say same shit. Though I will say the gap between all three is minimal. I don't have any problems with any order unless you have Lamar one. So with that being said, why don't you go one to three?
I'm going to go Lamar Jackson, as expected. To counteract your points, yeah, we haven't seen Lamar's jump in passing since his MVP year 2 years ago. It's been the same.
Lamar Jackson's arm has been Ben Simmons' offensive game since he's entered the league.
Yeah,
started somewhere and just stayed a flat line
off a cliff. But my only counterpoint is Josh Allen's jump last year. I mean, he went from 56% per game to a very average quarterback to the second best quarterback in the league at points last year. Rodgers was the MVP. Mahomes was the best quarterback in the league. Brady won the Super Bowl. But Josh Allen was in that tier all last year. That jump may or may not have coincided with getting Stephon Diggs. It's tough to say, but Stephon Diggs is going to be there next year. So I expect things from Josh Allen. That's why I have him number two. But on the Lamar front, I was talking from a sports perspective. The guy's 30-7 in his career. The guy just added a first-round pick, another first-round pick. You get your O-line back this season. You also Hollywood year three. I think Hollywood's going to be a good receiver.
Hollywood year two was supposed to be Julio. Once he put on all those, no, you did say that. You posted comparisons that we don't need Julio because Hollywood put on a little size.
I've always been team Julio Jones because I think he's like the best receiver ever, maybe. But you finally have the weapons for Lamar to say, okay, if he can't pass, then that's who he is. Once again, does not make him a bad player, just has shortcomings similar to Giannis. Josh Allen, number two. Everyone wants to get on the Josh Allen hype train. Totally fair. I think maybe let's go more than one season. Like we said about Lamar 2 years ago, regression could be coming. Defenses could adjust to his style of play. And
4,500 yards, 37 passing touchdowns, and 8 rushing touchdowns from Josh Allen last year.
It's not stupid to discount what he did. It's just to say,
I think 4,500 yards can be easily eclipsed, and he could throw for 5,000 yards with his arm, and I'll give him a floor of 5 rushing touchdowns.
Yeah.
Can he add on 4 extra ones? Probably.
He looked amazing last year. Everyone will get on Lamar for the playoff game against the Bills. Josh Allen was just as bad. He was bad in Kansas City. He was honestly fairly bad against the Colts. The Colts should have won that game, if you recall. So he did get those two wins. Mm-hmm. That's all we really care about at the end of the day. And then Kyler, number three. This is a really tricky one for me because pre-injury, Kyler Murray, fantasy-wise and efficiency-wise, was like playing. I mean, you remember the Kyler MVP talks. It was Russell Wilson for 6 weeks, like every season. And then it was Kyler Murray by week 8 for a little bit. Then he kind of got nicked up. Then he went really bad in the second half of the season. And when I'm evaluating Kyler, it's really tough because he's in such a friendly offense for his game with how they play, and he has DeAndre Hopkins. Like, you have DeAndre Hopkins for Kyler, and you have Stephon Diggs for Josh Allen, and like Lamar Jackson had Willie Snead.
But you have year three Hollywood,
and so that's tough to evaluate. Pro offense for him, and then pro D Hop being one of the best receivers in the league. But like, I think Cliff Kingsbury's one of the worst coaches in the league. Like, he's terrible. He couldn't win with. He's handsome, but he couldn't win.
But he couldn't win with
Patrick Mahomes. Like, think about not being able to win college football games with Patrick Mahomes. That's like impressively bad. So it's very tough for me to gauge Kyler. I am starting to lean. I was kind of off the Kyler train for a little. I thought he had a fluke start to the year. No,
don't you have to be? Don't you have to be? And I think after this year, fast forward 1 year from now when we have this conversation again, we'll be ranking Kyler, Lamar,
and
Jalen
Hurts.
Yeah,
we can rank them.
Just those speed dual threat quarterbacks.
We could rank him now. We could absolutely rank him now. But it's tough to evaluate Kyler for me. I think he's going to have a great season. And what I've learned from drafting on Underdog, there's like a lot of really exciting talents in the league right now. Like every offense, because what you do in underdog, you stack teams, right? So like you want them to be correlated. If Kyler throws a touchdown, you also want to have DeAndre Hopkins on your team so that he throws it to him. You kind of get the double. In traditional fantasy, not as much, but in this format you do. And every stack, I can, like, besides like a few, I can get really excited about. I'm going to try Max Enner.
How many teams do you have?
50 teams. No, I only have like
you 25. Don't have that yet?
It takes a while. It's expensive too. But
you tweet a lot.
Like
tweet,
the Browns offense, you can get excited about. Baker, Chubb, Jarvis, OBJ. You can talk yourself into. You can,
shit,
I saw
you can get excited
Rager,
about the Eagles offense.
I saw Jalen Reagor on my draft.
You don't know what to expect?
Like, he was a first round pick like last year.
With so much unknown about if Hurts is even good or not, Devontae coming in, Miles Sanders, a new coach, like there's a reason to get excited about the Eagles. Now, we're guessing, which you're not really guessing with other teams because there's history behind them and there's stats to prove why they can do this. But with threats like that, knowing what they can do.
Yeah, the Eagle. I mean, Hurts.
Hey, man, watch out for those Eagles this year. He was like a top. There's a
for
stat
fantasy,
that
for
is
fantasy.
Good for Jalen Hurts out there about like his. Yeah, well, there was also a stat a few years ago that over the last
That's
five
correct.
Games of the season,
but
Sam
you
Darnold
can get excited about
a
Carolina sack. Darnold, so. CMC, DJ Moore, Robbie Anderson,
no,
Terrence
you can't.
Marshall, Dan Arnold. It's kind of. There you go.
I just got excited about Sam Darnold.
All right, Eagleson, hop in here. Let's talk about. I think we're doing a little off season. What the puck?
Andrew Eagleson comes in. We say, Andrew, before the show, you got any what the puck for us today? He goes, yeah, I got some off-season what the puck. It's not that exciting, though. It's hockey.
And
news
also, if
Eagleson,
you don't think it's exciting,
it's never been that
are
exciting.
The listeners going to think it's exciting? So bring us something exciting. Doesn't have to be hockey. Can be whatever you want. I know we had a discussion about peanut butter. The stage is yours.
Well.
Three.
Wait, all right.
No.
Are we having this we peanut butter it. Conversation first?
I mean, it's not a conversation.
It is a conversation.
Andrew and I got – so for all of you that are DMing me, and there's not just been one person. Some psychopath that lives on this planet took a photo of peanut butter wrapped in essentially a meat container, which is like saran wrap with the styrofoam, and said this is how Canadians buy their peanut butter. Now, I believe them because of the whole – milk
no
in a bag,
steaks.
Yogurt in
yeah,
a bag.
Pretty much everything up there is wrong.
No, they had a leg to stand on, but I sent it to Eagleson. I said, you're fired if this is true. And he replied back with a photo of his canned or containered peanut butter that every country on planet Earth uses, but it was crunchy. Listen, I am the biggest peanut butter enthusiast that you'll ever
Me
find.
Too.
Like, I actually have a very bad addiction to it. But crunchy isn't it, and that's not to say crunchy isn't good, but it's just not it. And I understand you're a huge crunchy enthusiast.
It's just better. Like, there's just more peanut butter. Like,
that's
what, like,
actually,
what's not
cap.
To like about
that's
it
cap. That's cap. That's
incorrect.
It's the little
that's wrong
nuts.
There's yeah. less peanut butter because there's little nuts
the,
in it.
That's like more of the little peanut butter.
No wonder you failed your freaking personal life credit card class.
It's just better.
That's peanut butter 101.
I actually,
Jack,
I think this stemmed potentially from me tweeting out what's the best thing to put peanut butter on. I should have clarified that I was thinking of a healthy snack. Yeah, not those.
Not your dog
not
or
like
your grandpa
the,
or something like that.
All the treats that everyone was saying. Although Ritz.
Have you ever tried peanut
like
butter
fine,
and celery?
Because it's like
That's
celery.
Really good.
Yep. Yo, I got ripped apart in college a few years ago, and this has been an ongoing argument that carrots and peanut butter aren't a thing.
Really.
Yes, they are. I understand it's weird. No, they sell like prepackaged carrots and peanut butter, but go on.
But apparently Ritz and peanut butter are something I need to try that I've never had. Yeah, the okay, but it sounds
they sell like
people like
pre-made Ritz crackers. I know.
I was looking for something healthy.
Yeah, I do that all the time.
So I went to Trader Joe's, got peanut butter, and accidentally bought crunchy, actually, ironically, yesterday. There's the one I got is not even close to regular peanut butter. There are some really creamy, crunchy peanut butters that spread well. The problem with crunchy is they don't spread well. They don't spread well.
Ding, 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 ding.
They don't
preach it, Jack.
Well.
One more but time for the people in the back.
No.
Just get good at spreading.
True,
it's not that hard. Like, just figure it out.
It's just not how it works. It's not how it works, man.
Breaks the bread.
You do it on toast. It breaks apart the bread.
It doesn't. Just be gentle.
Andrew, I understand how you feel this way, but for once in your young adult life,
all right,
just trust your elders.
You have peanut butter at home.
We have
eight
more years
of
life experience.
Spreading crunchy peanut butter on soft bread, untoasted bread.
Okay.
And it not... Yeah.
And watch that shit break apart like Moses split the Red Sea.
After this pod, that's where you're going to...
It can be
even
done.
If it does, it's worth it.
Eating pieces of bread and
if
it spreads well and it's crunchy,
wrong.
I see the vibe there.
Better. That's it.
I will say the one thing that I learned from the tweet. Apparently, the move is to buy like melted peanut butter, like that they put on sundaes. Like I guess they sell that.
I don't think that's like you can probably do that like in squirt bottles and stuff, but.
Do you think it's any different
health,
or it's just melted?
Probably a lot of – probably not just like straight – nah, I think there's probably some added shit in there. I don't know for a fact, and I'm too much of a pure peanut butter appreciator to stoop to that level to try it. But toasted banana peanut butter sandwich is in a top five favorite food
that's
of mine on planet Earth. No, it's not.
See, I love that too, except in a wrap with crunchy peanut butter.
I'm not going to hate it until
see it. You take the wrap and you spread out, and then you put the banana in the middle, and then you roll it. It's pretty good.
Like I've done it. I've done it, and it's fine, but you...
Crepes are delicious.
Well, what's good with crepes? I've only ever had, like, a few, and they were strawberry, banana, Nutella, and I don't even like Nutella. Yeah. But what about like the crepes you get like chicken pancakes. In them? Yes. You ever see Talladega Nights? When they're at the bar, they're in the bar scene. And the French guy's putting Will Ferrell's arm down, and Will Ferrell's saying, "Crepes are just thin pancakes." He's like, "Say I love crepes, or I'll break
classic
your arm." He breaks
movie.
His arm.
All right,
classic
final
movie
thoughts.
Scene.
Peanut butter, Canada, driving.
Driving's fun, and crunchy peanut butter is the way to go.
I think we're headed out.
Are we doing what the puck? Or are we headed out? Listen, man. Eagleson, I appreciate you appreciating peanut butter, but on this one, you're just going to have to hold the L. Just respect your elders and hold the L.
I appreciate your opinion, but I will not be doing
much
that.
Much love. Peace.